basic text verse for my message tonight. But you know, we've been talking about things that we should look forward to and things that we define. We talk about God's grace and how God's grace is defined. We've talked about God's love and how God's love has been defined. We talked about the difference between mercy and grace. And all these things should cause us to live a godly life. All these things should cause us to come to a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to talk about something that should also be in our mind and that should cause us to do the right thing. Should cause us to find God's will, to find God's salvation, and to do it. And it's about judgment. And so the title of my sermon tonight is about aspects of judgment. You can go do a concordance or a word search about judgment in the Bible, and you can find a whole lot of verses on this. You know, God is a God who is just. He is love. But the Bible says He will by no means clear the guilty. And so God has to be just in order to be a right judge, in order that we know what righteousness and what evil is. And so, in way of introduction, there's three things that we need to understand as Christians. There's three things that we need to understand, just people, about the judgment of God. The first one is we need to watch what we say. Watch what we say. In our staff training this week, there was a segment on social media. And the point is that when you say something on the internet or you post something on the internet, even though you might delete it, it's there. It's there forever. And he's talking about a college student that was negatively impacted on getting on a cheerleading team because of something that she said in middle school that she posted on Facebook. And really what this does is it proves what God says about watching what we say. Because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word," not just words with purpose, but everything we say is recorded by God. And it says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Folks, if we all thought about this and we really thought that God's listening, it might clean up our language. It might make us think twice before we speak. And so some things that are going to judge is our words are going to be judged. We need to watch what we do. We need to watch what we do. In Romans chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" You know, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount talked about hypocrisy. He said, "Judge not that ye be not what? Judge." What judgment you mete out or what judgment you give, that's going to come back. And there's oftentimes that we find fault in people for problems that we have in our own lives. And the issue is that we need to live our lives towards Christ. We need to live our lives toward God. Because if my heart condemns me not, I have confidence to God. If I please God, I will do the right thing. If I please God, I'll be in the right spot. If I please God, I'll be in the right time. I'll be with the right people. I'll do the right things. The issue is we need to set our affection on Him. So as far as judgment is concerned, we need to watch what we say because those words are going to be judged. We need to watch what we do because those things will also, those actions will be judged. You know, how often have we done, have we found ourselves to be hypocrites about saying, look at what they did, and then we do the same thing. The third thing is watch when we start. Watch when we start. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For the time is come." Okay? The time has come. It is time now for us as Christians. It's time now for us as a church that we start doing righteous judgment. That's what Christ said, is that we're supposed to do righteous judgment. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the what? House of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them be? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God. So tonight I want to talk about three aspects of judgment very quickly. The first one is the judgment of the sinner. The judgment of the sinner. You know, death is a certainty. You know, they talk about death and taxes are the two sure things in life. No, God's judgment is a certainty too. Because we as sinners will be judged for our sins, for all that we do. The issue is, do you know Christ? And has He taken your judgment? Or are you having the judgment on yourself? John chapter 3 says that if we don't believe in Christ, the wrath of God abides on us right now. So, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, you ought to be able to quote this one. And it says, it is appointed unto man what? Men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It is an unfortunate thing that people die. You know, we had a prayer request tonight about somebody who was here on Friday and gone today. There's other people that were here yesterday and they're gone today. There are people passing into eternity right now. It is just an inevitability of life that we will die. But what happens after that? It starts eternity. And that starts with judgment. And that starts with judgment. Judgment of the sinner is a certainty. Judgment of a sinner is a consideration that we need to have. It should draw us close to God. The law of God, the Old Testament, the Bible should draw us to the cross. Just like the manslayer would go to the city of refuge. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." You know, there are a lot of people out there that in their 20s, they say, "I don't need life insurance. I don't need health insurance." You know why? Because I want to live a long time. There's a lot of people that live like that. That death and eternity is nowhere on their radar. Because it's so far in the distance, they don't even think about it. But look at this, what this verse says. "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." You know, I'll live my own life, but you will die one day. There will be a judgment. And the issue is, have you received Christ or not? So the judgment of the sinner is a certainty. The judgment of the sinner is a consideration. The judgment of the sinner is condemnation. Is condemnation. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be" what? "Evil spoken of." We've talked about from Romans chapter 1 that they've turned the truth of God into a lie and worship the creation more than the Creator. And it says here, "And through covetousness," what's that? "I want. He who has the most toys," what? "Wins." That's the world's way of thinking. Got to prepare for the future. You got to stack up money. Well, look at what the economy is doing right now. And you know something? It's never enough. I had co-workers at my last job. It was never enough. You're always trying to find more and more. My question was, how much do you really need? How much do you really need? It says that through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their what? Damnation slothered. That's a hard thing to say. You can't say God is love, but God is also just.
Amen.
"What you be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever ye sow, that shall you" what? "Reap." You also reap. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," the next verse goes on, "what will He do with people who don't obey God? What will He do with people that refuse to believe in the salvation of Christ? It will be condemnation." So it's a certainty. It's a certainty. It's a consideration that we need to have in our minds. It leads to condemnation, and it should be a concern. If you do not know where you're going to spend eternity tonight, you need to fix that. You may not get another chance. You may not get another chance. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to be the sacrifice on the cross for us. He became our sin for us on the cross. Amen. He paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. He was buried. He rose the third day. And so He has power over death, which is the wages of sin, and He has the ability to give eternal life because He makes the rules. And He did that out of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And later on it says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's not about what just happens here. It's what happens when you pass on into eternity. That's where it all starts. Our life is not even a dot. We were talking about, okay, so how many seconds we slowed down, okay? And compared to eternity, that's the way, it's the same thing. Our life is but a vapor. And so we see here that sinners will be judged. Sinners will be judged. The judgment of the believer. The judgment of the believer, his judgment was put on Christ on the cross. And because of that, there are three things that we need to realize. There's three things that ought to guide our lives about knowing the judgment of God. The first thing is if you believe in Christ, truly believe in Christ, you are condemned no more. Amen. God justifies us. God looks down at God, the Father looks down at us. He sees the blood of Christ, and it's just as if you never sinned. Because our sin debt was paid on the cross by Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus. If you're outside of Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. It's just what we talked about. There's no escape from it. It is a certainty. We need to consider it. It should be a concern if you don't know Jesus, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not only is the believer condemned no more, so we believe in eternal security. Once you get saved, you're always saved. The other thing is that you can be charged no more. You can be charged no more. Later on in chapter 8 of Romans, it says here, verses 33 and 34, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? All those sins, all of our sins, past sins, present sins, and future sins will be forgiven. But you know something? God, we ask God to forgive our past, but we go back to the past too many times. We go back to all the things that so easily beset us, and we get off target from the race that we're supposed to run. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. See, for every accusation that Satan can bring up to you, to God the Father, because of what we do and we do wrong to, after we get saved, Christ says, my blood's covering it. There's no charge. We got super spiritual Teflon. It won't stick. It won't stick. So the judgment of the believer is condemned no more. That should cause us to have joy. That should cause us to live our life on a higher plane. That should cause us to be in fellowship with Christ. That should cause us to have security. That should cause us to have strength when all things go wrong. Condemned no more and charged no more. But we need to realize that our old man was crucified with Christ. There's a lot of people that claim Christ, but they live, there's no change in their life. And we know what the scripture says. If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. Old things passed away. Why? Because they were nailed to the cross. All things have become new. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. That old person that was rotten, that old person that was angry all the time, that old person that may have been a drunkard, may have been in pornography, may have been in all sorts of sin, he's gone! All those sins are on the cross. To be remembered no more. God remembers them no more. Why do we keep on going back to the way we were? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Ask yourself a question right now. Does Christ live in you? Does Christ live in you? Don't lie about it. Don't be politically correct about it. You search your heart. If your heart condemns you not, you have confidence with God. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life... I want everybody to read this. You proclaim Christ, this is what we need to do. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's the judgment of the believer. It's all on Christ. All our sin debt, all our old self, nailed to the cross. No more condemnation. No more charge. No more indictment. None of it is gone. Because it was crucified with Christ. Romans 6 goes into it in very big detail. So we see the judgment of the sinner. We see the judgment of the believer. And lastly, we see the judgment of the servant. No, God's watching. You know, he gives the parable of the talents. Gives the parable of the steward. One of the questions he says is when Christ returns, he says when the master comes back, will he find what? Faith on earth. We're going to be judged. Remember? Every idle word. Everything we do. And it must first begin where? Here. Just like the judgment of the sinner, the judgment of God's servant is a certainty. It's certainty. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, unless English has changed, what does that mean? Every one of us in here that professes Christ, we're going to stand before God one day and have to give an account of all the things that we've done in our lives since we've been saved. Since we've been saved. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what? That he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, Peter puts it this way. He talks about the judgment of the earth, the judgment of the heavens, that God is going to come and destroy them. And he's going to create a what? New heaven and a new earth. We talked about that Wednesday night in Isaiah 65. Come out Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Isaiah 66. We'll complete that book. But Peter writes this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See, that's a challenge for the Christian. Everything you watch, everywhere you go, all the things you say, what you put into your body, God's watching. God's watching. And it says here that everyone may receive the things done in his what? Body. According to that he hath done, whether it be what? Good or bad. It's certain. It's certain. It's consistent. It's consistent. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, last chapter of the Bible. And behold, this is Christ speaking. If you're reading in your Bibles, it's red. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Remember what it started out with in this book? It started out with letters to churches. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. It's coming. It's coming. And don't think, well, God loves me, he's just going to erase all those things that I've done. No, he's forgiven them, but he's going to bring them up. And we're going to have to do what? Give an account. Why did you do that? Everybody say, ah, I go through the heaven, I get my harp, I get my wings, and that's it. Uh-uh. No, we have to give an account of what's going on in this life right now. We have to give an account of what we're doing right now. Right now. And tomorrow. And the next day. Colossians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And that's the issue right now. Who do you serve? Because if you love him, you'll serve him. Okay? Christ said, he says, you'll love and hate the other. You'll love one and hate the other. It says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You know, we all think about the good part of judgment, that we don't have to go through it anymore. But we have to stand and give an account, because it is something that we have to consider. My last passage tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, let a man so account of us as of the what? Ministers of Christ. Remember that priest this morning? He blew it with the guy on the side of the road that was bleeding. The Levite. He blew it by going on the other side of the road where the guy was beaten up and left for dead. Samaritan didn't, because he was loving his neighbor. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the what? The mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. See, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to have our works judged. In 2 Corinthians, it says, what kind of work? Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And it's going to be tried by what? Fire. And if it goes through the fire and comes out the other end, you get a reward, because that was done for Christ. If it doesn't go through the fire, it's burned up. Nothing. You'll still be in heaven, but you'll have nothing to show for your life of service to God, or your life of supposed service to God. Judgment is coming, Christian. Judgment is coming, sinner. Are you ready to meet God? Suppose you were to die today. Do you know if you go to heaven, or is that something you say you're still working on? And if you did die today, what would you say to God when he says, why should I let you to my heaven? What would you say? There's only one answer. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins because of his love for me. And I believe he did that for me, and I accepted the free gift of salvation. No other answer will do. And then it's, what have we done for me since? You know, our spouses do that. Well, what have you done for me? Okay? We sing the song, I gave my life for thee. What ought have you done for me? So tonight, here's something to think about. Good judgment now. What we do, how we look at things, have a biblical worldview, leads to a good judgment later. Are you ready for that judgment? Are you ready for that judgment? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you with this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts. Help us, Lord, be right with you. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, they don't know where they would spend eternity after they die, Father, I pray that they realize that you sent your Son to die on the cross for their sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, and he offers salvation to all who will save. Jesus, forgive me my sins and save me. Lord, for us as Christians, knowing that judgment is coming, help us, Lord, to walk worthy of your name. Help us, Lord, to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. Lord, help us tonight. We're a needy people. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us to be changed tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.